Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning to be able to fill in for Mike. Appreciate the opportunity. This morning, we're going to talk about commitment. Being committed to God. Being committed to God. And in this lesson, we're going to see that our relationship to God, it must be committed. We must be fully committed to Him. And then we will also define commitment. But before we get into that, I have a quote from Abraham Lincoln that I want to start with. Abraham Lincoln quoted, "Commitment is what transforms a promise into reality." Commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. What is commitment? Well, commitment is the state of quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. To commit is an action. It is an action. It's a pledge or an undertaking, an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. So we must be committed. What are we committed? We are committed to so many things, but our commitment to God is the most important. Our commitment to God is the most important. In Psalm 37, verses 1 through 5, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 5, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like grass and fade like the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of the heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it." When we are baptized, that is a lifetime commitment. That's a lifetime commitment. God knows if we are fully committed to Him. He knows that. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. In Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, and we'll also read verse 9. "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man, all the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." Verse 3, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." You know, things that we are committed to. Let's think about those things. We're committed to work. We're committed to getting our kids to functions that they are involved in. We're committed to our marriage. If we are also, and we put forth our very best in these things. You know, doesn't God deserve the same treatment? He deserves our very best. We must not put God on the back burner. If God is not at the center of our lives, we have a problem. We have a problem. Now, in Proverbs 16 and verse 9, there, "The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Many times we try to direct our own steps. We try to be right in our own eyes, when in all actuality, we need to be pleasing God and not self. What keeps us from fully committing to the Lord and His work? Well, number one, worldly pleasures, worldly things. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians 3 and verse 2. "Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth." These things can draw us away from God. These worldly things that we talk about can draw us away from God. Also in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The Bible reads, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." You know, the devil will do anything to keep us away from God and from us doing God's will. We should be committed to being here each Lord's Day for Bible class, for Wednesday night Bible study. We must not let things get in our way of us doing these things. We must look forward to seeing each other when we come together. When we are committed to God, He sees our love for Him. He sees our love for Him. And as was read earlier, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We must encourage one another to be here so we can spur one another along. Another thing that might keep us away is priorities. Priorities. Many times our priorities aren't where they need to be. We put other things before we put meeting together. Our mindset needs to just make it a point to be here and not let the world tear us away. Most things we could put off till that afternoon or a different time. You know, but we need to stand strong and make it a point to be here if at all possible. You know, it's easy to make excuses, but you know, come Judgment Day, there won't be any excuses. We must not allow Satan to pull us away from meeting together. We must encourage one another to be here and also to pay attention to those who start missing and let them know that they are missed. It's easy to come and take our number, but we should be well aware of those around us as well. If they're not here, we need to be checking up on those who aren't here. Sometimes we're just too busy for God. Sometimes we're just too busy for God. God should be at the very top of our priorities. If He is not, then we don't have a good foundation. We don't have a good foundation. God knows how important we think coming to the assembly is because He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. Even when we are here, we should be glad to see each other. Glad to see each other and be able to worship together. Because we are here for the same reason. And that's to get to heaven. That's to get to heaven. When we are here, there are things that we must participate in. When we're here, we participate in, number one, the singing. The singing. We participate in the singing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We can't teach each other through song if we aren't here. So you are important. You are missed. In Psalm 95 and verse 2, Psalm 95 and verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. And then the ESV says, in that same verse, the ESV says, let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Some may say, oh, I can't sing very well. Well, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. We are commanded to sing. We are commanded to sing. We must like to sing because there will be singing in heaven. We must like to sing. There will be singing in heaven. So we must sing. We're here to pray. We must pray. You know, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. Acts 6 and verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This verse covers praying and preaching. So these two things must be done. We'll talk about preaching here in just one moment. But we must pray. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Acts 12 and verse 5, and this is from the ESV version. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. You know, when we come together, we can pray for the sick, we can pray for the elders, we pray for the work of the church, pray for our country, our country leaders. Many different things that we can pray for and that we must pray for. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, and this is also from the ESV. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. You know, the list, the last several weeks, we've had a lot to pray for. And we must continue to pray for those who are in need of our attention. We must pray for those who are in need of our attention. Prayer is powerful. And we have seen that power of prayer just in the last couple of days. Like I said, with Mike being down, there's been an outpouring of prayer for Mike and his family. And now we continue to pray for him as he recovers. You know, many people have been praying for him, and those prayers are heard. But now, well, like I said, we should pray for his continuance in recovery. God is in control. God is in control, and we must put our hope and trust in him. Number three this morning, we preach the word. Preach the word. You know, there is preaching that must be done so we can grow and be fed the word as we strive to live Christian lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, very familiar verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Paul is talking to Timothy here, but he was also talking to all preachers that they must preach the word. We must not be afraid to preach and to speak the truth. Jesus was also a preacher. Jesus was also a preacher. And these men, Paul and Jesus, they were committed to preaching. That's what they were to do. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. And this is out of the ESV. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Well, we have a purpose. We have a purpose in life, and it's up to us to find it. Jesus knew what he was sent to do. And even though he knew the outcome, he knew that he was going to go to the cross, he didn't want anyone to be lost. He did not want anyone to be lost. The word must be preached, but we know that not everyone will obey it. Paul knew the importance to preach as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That was Paul's motivation. He knew it had to be done. He was very humble, very humble. Paul's concern, his concern was for all the churches. His concern was for all the churches. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Paul's love for the church was strong. That's the kind of love that we should have for the church as well. If we aren't growing, we're dying. There are churches that are closing their doors because their attendance is so low. Probably some of the strongest churches, you can look at them from 30 years back and you can look at them now and they're way down in attendance. If we don't want to ever reach that point, then we need to commit to being here as much as possible. Everyone is important, and it pleases God when we are here and participating in the worship service. Number four, we partake of communion. We partake of communion. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 serves as an example to us. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. I'm not going to keep you all here till midnight, but we know that there was preaching done. We also know that was our example on the first day of the week. They broke bread. We partake of communion as they did in the first century every first day of the week. Like I said, we use this verse as an example, so we see the importance of partaking of communion every first day of the week. So all these things mentioned so far, they're important for us to be here. They're important for us to be here. You know, many times we don't stress that importance. If it was important, if it wasn't important, the Bible wouldn't speak on it. The Bible would not talk about it. The Lord's Supper is a reminder to us what Christ did for us on the cross. He died a horrible death, a death that gives us salvation if we obey the gospel. God saw that we needed forgiveness, and now thanks to God for sending His Son to die on the cross for us, that's what love is all about. We are under the better covenant because we have forgiveness of sins. The old law did not have that. We should be thankful for Jesus' sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. And this is the purpose for taking the Lord's Supper. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We must partake until He comes. And we never know when that might be, but we see the importance of this. And the bread, we know that it represents His body, and the cup represents the blood that He shed. Our thoughts should be focused on these things as we partake of each of these emblems. We can partake in an unworthy manner. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. The Bible reads, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Verse 28, "But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." Our minds should be focused on the cross as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And then the last thing I want to talk about this morning is our giving. Our giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, and this is out of the ESV, Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We are blessed to be in the buildings that we use, but it costs money for lights and air conditioning and electricity and other things that go on, our materials for Bible class, just many different things. Our giving is important because it helps the church function and we support many good works. So much can be done with the money that is given. We are blessed here in this congregation because we are a giving church. That's not always with funds, but with time to help with food for funerals, baby showers, many things that go unnoticed. But many people work behind the scenes. This congregation is blessed to have so many workers, and these who go the extra mile. But there's only one problem with that. We all must be going that extra mile. So not only can we give money, we can give of ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, the world is corrupt. The world is corrupt, and we must not be influenced by the world. Let our brothers and sisters in Christ influence us. That's the influence that we need. You know, I when Bree and I go to Bible camp at Green Valley, and I get an opportunity to give a lesson, that's one thing that I tell the kids when they, you know, it's easy to be a Christian when you're around Christians, but once you leave those gates on Saturday, you're back out in the real world again. And we need to, and just like this morning, we're here and we know the purpose of why we're here, but we must remember that we're out in the real world again here in just a few minutes, and people can see how we live, and hopefully that we are the influence, we are the ones who are doing the influencing. But it's easy to be a Christian here when you're with Christians. We must be the change the world needs to see. The world will not get us closer to God. It drags us away. We fight Satan each and every day. He catches us in our weak moments. We need to tell him, "Not today, Satan," each and every day. We have talked about commitment. Commitment is an action. Being committed to God is the most important thing that we can do. We can do it with our actions. We can do it with our words. People need to see Christ in us. We can instill that same train of thought in our kids as they're young, so they can teach their young someday. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 come to mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. We can't hide from God. Every act will be held accountable. That should scare us enough into doing the right things, because God keeps His commands, keeps His promises. The goal that we are after is found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Very familiar verse that we use. And this is our goal. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's a lifetime commitment that we get to choose. We choose what we want to be committed to. Question I ask you today: how committed are you to God? How committed are you to God today? If you're not committed, you can start today. Turn your life over to Him. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. He's waiting for your response. This morning, if you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk with Him, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.